those who have not been with us at this Mass previously, let me just take a moment, first of all, to thank everybody who's here and explain why we're here. It is an evening of penance in reparation for the crimes against the Blessed Sacrament that will be happening later on tonight. Here in the Twin Cities, tragically, there will be a Black Mass tonight. That means a priest, a Catholic priest, whether it is a priest who has left the priesthood or someone who is still active but is a Satanist, is going to offer Mass for the Satanists tonight. And they will desecrate the Holy Eucharist in every disgusting and despicable way that your imagination would allow it to run. Don't spend much time thinking about it. Just know that that's what's going to happen. And so I am most grateful for all of you to come here tonight and to be with our Blessed Lord, to pray, to adore Him, to worship Him, when there are other human beings this night who, joining the demons, are going to desecrate Him. What we do recognize in that desecration of our Blessed Lord is the great humility that is His. The humility to come to us in the form of a piece of bread. The humility to be with us in a way that is completely passive. He who is the all-powerful God, He who is the creator of all and the judge of all, just as He allowed 2,000 years ago that He would be judged and that He would be condemned, so again tonight He allows that same thing, not just here in the Twin Cities, but all around the world, as they will do these despicable deeds with as many priests as they can find. And if they don't have a priest to do that, then they will break into a Catholic church. They will steal the Blessed Sacrament, and they will desecrate it in the same kind of ways. And so it is a wonderful opportunity then for us, who, as we heard in the second reading from St. John, reminds us that we are God's children. The world doesn't recognize us, he said, because the world never recognized Jesus. The world has rejected God. It's an interesting thing when you think about what I was saying just a minute ago. The people who worship Satan, they believe that Jesus is truly present in the Blessed Sacrament. They have no doubt that Jesus is truly present in the Holy Eucharist. They hate Him. They have rejected Him. And they think that by doing all of these acts of desecration, it shows that their Lord and Master is somehow more powerful than our Lord and Master. It is the epitome of foolishness, because Satan is a creature who was made by the Lord. God didn't make him evil. God made him good. But by his own choice, he rejected God and continues to do so. And so those who want to worship him, they somehow think that he is more powerful than the Lord. They can look back 2,000 years ago and think somehow that they were victorious when our Blessed Lord was crucified. They seem conveniently to forget that he rose from the dead, and that in going to the cross, he took our sins and nailed them to the cross. It was not a victory for Satan, it was the ultimate defeat. But they somehow want to continue to turn that the other way and suggest that somehow this demonstrates Satan to be more powerful than the Lord. And as they desecrate the Blessed Sacrament tonight, it is not just Satan that they proclaim to be more powerful than Jesus, because they themselves are desecrating the Blessed Sacrament. And they would reason within themselves that if somehow Satan were able to be present in some form, and somebody did to Satan what they are doing to Jesus, that Satan would somehow rise up and crush these people. But Jesus doesn't do that, so therefore, you see, we are more powerful than him. Obviously, they are completely wrong. And the Lord, in his humility, allows himself to be desecrated. And he allows that for the specific reason that he is present for us. If he weren't present for us, he couldn't be desecrated. And yet he loves you and me so much that he is willing to allow himself to be desecrated so that we would still be able to have union with him. That is how much he desires that for you. That is how much he loves you. Now we have to ask ourselves, how much do I love him? As we celebrate this glorious feast of all of the saints, and the point that I make over and over and over again is that God wants you to be a saint. Now the question is, do you want to be a saint? By that I don't mean, do you want the title saint put in front of your name someday? That would be just stupid, actually, to think that. And I can guarantee you that there is not one saint in heaven who cares in the least that the word saint is in front of their name. All they care about is that they're with the Lord. And they care about us. But they don't care that we call them saints. They care that they are saints, that they are in heaven with God. And that's the question each one of us needs to look at. Not a question of, would I prefer to go to heaven, because I know the answer to that. The answer, the question rather, is, am I willing to do what is required to get to heaven? Whatever that is going to take. As we've talked about many times, each one of us has a different personality. Each one of us has a different calling. And so how you are going to become a saint is different from the way the person sitting next to you is going to become a saint. Although if you're married, you are the way that the person next to you is going to become a saint. But that's a different point. So the reality, though, is when you look at the gospel reading and we hear the Beatitudes, you see that there are all these different ways of holiness. And each one of us is called to holiness. So how you are going to express that holiness, as opposed to how someone else is going to express that holiness, may be very different. But the holiness must be there nonetheless. And it's not just simply looking at the Beatitudes and saying, well, if I can get one out of eight, then maybe I can be okay. Maybe you're going to do one of them really, really well. You need to be striving for the other ones as well. Can't just say, well, you know, just like the commandments, one out of ten, I should go to heaven then, right? Huh. So we need to be striving to live all of the Beatitudes, to be working toward that holiness, toward that virtue to which God is calling us. We have great hope when we hear the first reading that God is going to save a multitude of people that cannot even be counted, from every race and tribe and tongue and people and nation. And so if there is hope for them, there is hope for us. Because it's easy to look at things and think that I can't get there, I can't do it. By yourself, that is absolutely true. But for God, all things are possible, including making you a saint. Now, you might laugh at that possibility. You might go home and look in the mirror and say, "A saint, right, me." It's exactly what God's doing. He's looking at you and he's chuckling. He's saying, "Watch what I can do with this one." As I've told you before, God likes a challenge. God doesn't choose the ones to be the saints who everybody else would expect to be saints. God chooses the ones that no one would expect to be a saint. Oh, sure, there are a handful that he's chosen for himself right from the very beginning of their life. And those extraordinary people never committed a mortal sin in their entire life, and they lived their entire life for the Lord. I don't know if there's anybody here that can say that. If there is, praise God. The rest of us, we cannot say that. And so if that's the case, then we're the ones that God likes, because he's going to prove his power through us. Just as we were talking about earlier, how these unfortunate souls that are going to desecrate the Holy Eucharist tonight think that therefore they have power over the Lord. The Lord is going to be their judge. We need to pray for their conversion so that they don't wind up where they're wanting to go, thinking this is a good idea. But we see the example of our Lord and his humility. And that's what we have to be like. If you go home tonight and you look in the mirror and you say, "Yep, makes perfect sense that God would ask me to be a saint because I am one," well, good luck. The day of judgment isn't going to be a happy one. But if you can go home tonight and look at it and say, "I don't see it. I know that that's what he's asking me to do, but I don't know how this is going to work," then all you can do is pray for the grace to cooperate, because you can't do it, but God can. And that's what we need to pray for, the grace to be able to cooperate, because he can make us saints. But in the meantime, that means we have to trust him. We have to trust that the situations that he puts us into in our lives are the ones that are going to be the best to make us saints. Now, what we recognize is that a lot of those situations are the ones that demonstrate that we're not saints, because we're not very patient, and we're not very meek, and we're not very humble, and we're not very charitable, and all these situations that we find ourselves in, we just keep proving that over and over and over again. And so we would look at it on the natural level and say, "No, that doesn't prove that I can be a saint. That proves that I'm not one." Bingo. That's exactly why he's going to keep putting you into those situations, so that you can develop the virtue and become a saint by his grace, but by your cooperation. He's not going to force it on you. You have to choose it. And so if you can recognize that the situations, as difficult as they may be, as frustrating to you as they may be, as opposed to everything in your nature as they may be, are the very means by which he is going to make you a saint, then you can change your disposition to be able to say, "How do I cooperate? I want to cooperate with him. I want to be able to do the best I can with the circumstances that he has me in. How do I do that?" Well, nobody's going to become a saint without a prayer life. So you need to get to prayer. And then you can ask God, "How? How do I cooperate? I want to. I don't even know how. What would it look like if I was actually doing what you want me to do in these circumstances that you have placed me? What would that look like?" And as you take that to prayer and you keep working it through, then you begin to see, you know what? If I would just make this adjustment, if I would change here, if I would do this, that would work a whole lot better. And little by little, you see that he will conform you to himself. That doesn't come easily for us. But that's okay. Because if you read the lives of the saints, there's not a single one who had it easy. So it's not going to be easy for us either. But the grace will be there for us if we're willing to receive it. If we are going to be the children of God, then we have to act like the Son of God, because that's whose members we are. So we need to look at his example. We need to learn from him. And then we need to become like him. We're made in his image and likeness. That's what we're supposed to do. Become like him. So that's the challenge that's put before all of us. And while we can look at it and say, yeah, in 2,000 years, we've got about 8,000 saints. That's 4 a year. Not exactly a great batting average. 4 saints a year, heck of a deal. So you look at it that way, you say, don't expect that there's ever going to be the title saint in front of your name. And don't worry about that. Look at the promises that the Lord made. That there is a multitude that cannot be counted, which means that there are way, way more than 8,000 saints. There are 8,000 who have received the title. There are thousands and thousands and thousands more that did not receive the title on earth, but are living it in heaven. So it is possible, it is entirely possible for you to be able to be a saint. Don't laugh at that. Embrace it, because it's the only thing that matters. You have only two options of where you're going to spend eternity. So this is no laughing matter. The idea of saying that I could be a saint. Yeah, you can, because God wants you to be, because God is calling you to be. And so take that call seriously, because he's taking it seriously. He's trying to make you a saint, but you have to cooperate. So read the Beatitudes, and when life is not easy and it's treating you badly, then you go down and you say, oh yeah, blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, and blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Like, yeah, things are difficult. How do we handle them? Are we rejoicing as he told us to? Are we seeing this as a gift? Are we recognizing them as the way we're becoming saints? Or do we whine and complain and reject it ultimately? No, look at what he's doing. He wants you to be a saint. He is giving you the means to do it. Now it's just for us to cooperate with it, to be the children of God. The world is going to give you difficulty because they don't know the Son of God. They've rejected God. So don't expect that the world's going to look at your virtue and go, wow, look at that person. What a saint. No, they're going to look at you and go, how weird. What's wrong with you? How come you're living this way when everybody else is living over this way? They're going to reject you too because they rejected the Lord. So don't expect the world to be patting you on the back. They won't. Praise God. Because if the world recognizes you as one of its own, that means God doesn't recognize you as one of his own. So you got to make the choice. Choose the Lord. Be the child of God, the son or the daughter of God that you are. It's already there. The mark of the Lord, the mark of the cross is already on your forehead. It was put there on the day you were baptized. It was put there a second time on the day that you were confirmed. It's already there. The Lord has chosen you out of humanity, and he wants to elevate you above the rest of humanity and make you a saint. So again, the question, and the most important question, as we're celebrating all of the saints today, do you want it? Are you willing to do whatever it's going to take to become the saint that God is calling you to be?